with one substitute product per liter size, massive turnout, a source of immunity for Islamic Republic. Iran, Beit al-Maqdis 25 military drills wrap up. Russia says Syria agrees to take part in Geneva 2 talks. Bahrain is a stage of fresh protest against al-Khalifa regime. And several feared dead or injured in multiple blasts in Kabul, Afghanistan. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IRIN in English News with me, Nima Chitsos. Tehran's substitute Friday prayer leader says massive turnouts of Iranian nation in the upcoming presidential election is a source of immunity for the sacred Islamic system against enemies' conspiracies. Addressing worshippers, Ayatollah Muhammad Ali Mawahedi Kermani reiterated that every Iranian who loves Islamic Iran should actively take part in June presidential vote. The cleric said Iranians should behave in such a way which leads to the maintenance of the ideals of the Islamic Revolution. The cleric also noted that the figure who is elected to be to the presidential post should be pious, prudent, and manager. He said the candidates should also seek justice and a simple lifestyle while making use of experts and competent figures in his domain of activities. The cleric also stressed that Iran's president should abide by the instructions of the leader of the Islamic Revolution and wholeheartedly serve Iranian nation. Iranian military has launched the third and last phase of Beit al-Maqdis 25 exercises in the central province of Isfahan with the aim of testing new simulator systems. Attended by commander of the drills, Brigadier General Ahmad Reza Purdastan, the drills entered the third phase early Friday. Iranian army carried out heavy artillery fire, coordinated offensives by infantry and armored units, and heliborne operations by the 55th Airborne Brigade in the last phase of the drills. The army also tested direct fire and artillery simulators, as well as smart surface-to-surface missile simulators during the second phase of maneuvers on Thursday. Meantime, Deputy Commander of the Iranian Army's Ground Forces, 2nd Brigadier General Hussein Shokuhi, said earlier that unveiling these simulators will lead to savings in ammunition, optimal use of efficient human forces, and reduction of potential casualties and material damages in any possible war. Syrian army has tightened the siege of a strategic western city of Al-Qusair, paving the ground to start the second phase of mop-up operation. The Syrian security forces have entered the edge of the northern quarter of Qusair city to start their mission as part of the second stage of the Syrian military operation. The army also started mop-up operation in all buildings near the city's train station, which was considered as the main stronghold of rebel groups in Qusair. They also entered the Al-Zuhuri school and seized the control of this school, which was captured by militants several days ago. An unknown number of rebels from different foreign countries have been detained or killed during the operation. In other news, at least 7 civilians were killed and 10 others wounded in a car bomb explosion that has rocked Syria's northwestern province of Idlib. The bomb blast occurred at noon near a military center in the city of Jisr al-Shukur. The incident happened after the Syrian army conducted a successful operation around Syrian coastal town of Banias on Friday, clearing the district of insurgents. Moreover, the Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman says Syria has agreed to attend an upcoming international conference in Geneva to discuss the crisis in the country. Alexander Lukashevich said Russia has already received an agreement in principle from Damascus to attend the Geneva 2 talks. He said demands to immediately name a specific date for the conference without having clarity about who will speak in the name of the opposition cannot be taken seriously. Meantime, a spokesman for the UN Deputy Secretary General says Russian journalists have revealed some documents showing that Syrian rebels have already used chemical weapons against civilians. Farhan Haq confirmed that Russian journalists who were on assignments in Syria have handed the UN Secretariat videos showing chemical weapon attacks committed by rebel groups in the vicinity of Aleppo on March 19. He said the information will be passed along to Åke Selstemu, the head of the group of experts investigating the possible use of weapons of mass destruction in Syria. The video confirms the use of toxic substances, apart from footage of the event in which there are reports from doctors who took care of the dead and injured victims. In late March, Damascus notified a UN secretariat of the chemical attacks carried out by armed insurgents. This comes as Austria is urging an extension of the UN arms embargo for Syria, saying it may rethink its United Nations peacekeeping role in the region otherwise.
To have more weapons in Syria will not lead to a real solution. We will have competition with new weapons from the one side and the other side, and I think we will then have a postponing of this war within Syria and not a political solution that we have freedom and peace in Syria. And we need that, I think, so strong that we end up with this bloodshed every day. We have support from some countries for this solution, just to postpone the sanctions regime against Syria. And I hope we will see that also in our decisions on Monday, that this opinion will be the majority of European Union.
The Iranians have staged a fresh anti-regime demonstration near the capital to protest against Manama's continuing crackdown on dissent. Thousands of Iranians marched in the northwestern village of Daraz on Friday to express their anger at Al Khalifa regime's crackdown on civil protests. They also denounced the recent attack by regime forces on the house of prominent Shiite cleric Sheikh Isa Qassem. Saudi-backed Bahraini forces raided Sheikh Qassem's home in Daraz in May 16. Bahrainis have since held several demonstrations in support of the cleric. Witnesses said the regime forces broke the doors of the cleric's house and damaged his property. The protesters also announced that they will continue holding protests against the Al Khalifa regime until their demands for the establishment of a democratically elected government are met. Unknown attackers have blown up Yemen's main oil export pipeline in the central province of Ma'arib, halting the flow of crude oil. Yemen's defense ministry said the pipeline in Sarwa was exploded by subversive elements. The key pipeline, which carries oil to an export terminal on the Red Sea shore, had been pumping around 125,000 barrels per day. Oil revenues make up more than 70% of Yemen's state budget. Oil and gas products also account for over 90% of Yemen's exports. Insurgents and tribesmen have repeatedly attacked oil and gas pipelines in Yemen over the past 2 years in a bid to win concessions from the central government, causing fuel shortages and slashing export earnings in the impoverished country. And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Tehran's substitute Friday prayer leader says massive turnout is a source of immunity for Islamic Republic. Iran Beit al-Maqdis 25 military drills wrap up. Russia says Syria agrees to take part in Geneva II talks. Bahrain is a stage of fresh protests against Al Khalifa regime. And several feared dead or injured in multiple blasts in Kabul, Afghanistan. Several people are feared dead or injured after multiple explosions rocked an administrative district in the Afghan capital Kabul. Several bomb blasts took place near the Ministry of Interior in Kabul on Friday. Initial reports said four Afghan civilians as well as two foreigners were seriously injured in the attack. Gunfire erupted after the bomb attacks on the district, where a number of militants are said to be holed up. Frequent bomb attacks have disrupted normal life and business activities in Afghanistan, where civilian casualties are expected to rise after Washington announced plans to set up permanent bases in the country. Taliban militants recently announced the start of their annual spring offensive against U.S.-led and Afghan forces, vowing a new wave of attacks across Afghanistan. At least four people were killed and several others injured when a suicide bomber hit a mosque in Pakistan's northwest Peshawar city on Friday afternoon. The blast happened when an unknown suicide bomber blew himself up at the main gate of the mosque located in a seminary in Hafizabad area of Peshawar, capital of the country's northwest Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack yet. Despite all the harsh and unpopular economic measures the government has taken in Greece, people still are challenging with and complaining about daily economic problems. Here's more.
In Greece, the Greek recovery phenomenon is trying to win over the hearts and minds of ordinary people and international opinion makers alike. The relative optimism seems to be spilling over to most public policy players, both in Greece and abroad, yet it remains an ill-founded suggestion. True, the recent offensive de charme investment trip of Premier Samaras was impressive and well-rounded, while tourism receipts are expected greater than ever before. Notwithstanding some first revival signs, the effects of recovery have yet to be felt in the real economy, a nailing economy bashed and clouted by consecutive waves of austerity and contraction policies. Data, though, speak for themselves. The economy and therefore society itself is sinking. Unemployment is still hovering over 27%. The public debt to GDP ratio is over 160%. Industrial investment dropped 20% last year and deflation stands at 0.6%. In the meanwhile, new projections for a 5% contraction rate of the economy are coming to light for 2013, while the Greek GDP has dropped lower than 170 billion euros in 2012. The few businesses that have managed to survive are choking due to the lack of cash flow, and new, flexible forms of labor are emerging and establishing themselves as a new trend. The investment climate is not that shiny nor welcoming either. Post-PSI Greek bonds are now safe and less attractive, and bond spreads have dropped. But investors keep looking at Greece as a guinea pig going for short selling rather than long-term investments. Credit rating agencies such as Fitch and reports from the European Commission are all predicting additional cuts, predicting Greece will probably need additional assistance in the near future, either in the form of lowered interest rates, extension of loans, or new bailouts. Morale is improving in Greece, yet economic stability is dragging on far behind it.
British Muslims on Friday severely condemned the murder in Woolwich in southeast London, in which a soldier was beheaded by two assailants. Calling the shocking bloody slaughter a barbaric act, the Muslim community said this attack is dishonorable and no cause justifies it.
We are paying tax, we are working together with the community, so we are condemning this act, and to the highest tone that we can say, it should not be associated with Islam whatsoever.
We condemn the barbaric act that happened 2 days ago in Woolwich, here in our area. This is clearly misrepresentation of Islam. If any, we condemn to the strongest terms possible, and we are very sorry.
These so-called Muslims, we do not know them at all. I'm not saying I know all Nigerians living in this area, but I know most of the Nigerians living around here. I've never seen them. Nobody knows them. They are not part of our group, and the act they committed, we strongly condemn it.
I was shocked, like everybody else, because I thought, hold on, he prayed there before, and I've seen him in the local masjid, I've seen him in the Lewisham as well before, so it's a very shocking.
And before wrapping up, angry demonstrations in Sweden continues as 9 cars are set ablaze and part of a police station and 3 schools are burned down in protest against youth unemployment and a police shooting of an elderly man. Stockholm police called in reinforcements from across Sweden on Friday to quell a possible 6th straight night of riots in the capital suburbs. Nearly a week of nightly riots have put Sweden's reputation as an oasis of peace and harmony at risk. The unrest has also sparked a debate among Swedes over the integration of immigrants who now make up about 15% of the population. Dozens of protesters were detained within 5 nights of protests. The protests in Sweden began on May 19, 6 days after police shot dead a 69-year-old man who had locked himself in an apartment in Husby, a poor district in western Stockholm. And that's a wrap for now. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.